What's up, Tifos? Charlotte Soccer Show is back for the third time this week. It must be launch week if we're coming at you for a third episode of the week. And this week, it's all about Luca Del Torre, the new boy, the new signing, the midfield maestro, the U.S. men's national team player, the Tim Ream teammate, the soft-spoken Luca Del Torre, as you'll see in just a moment. We're really excited to have him. This was a signing that I think kind of went under the radar with a lot of folks in the league-wide, in the greater league. I don't know if a lot of people really put a lot of shine on this one when it first happened. Charlotte FC kind of snuck it in. So not a ton of buzz league-wide, but as I showed you a couple episodes ago, this is a graphic I made that showed that Luca is an impact player. I think this is a guy who can make a ton of impact here for this team. I think this is going to be looked back at the end of the year as one of the better signings of the season. I am so excited to talk with an expert on San Diego FC, on Luca Del Torre. We've got one for you, and he's going to be joining us in just a moment. But first, let's listen to what Luca himself had to say at his introduction this week at Charlotte FC. He's a man of few words. He doesn't give a lot of long, drawn-out answers. Most of his answers were like 10 seconds, 11 seconds. So I put them all together in a super cut for you, and here we go.
Yeah, I think just the project of the club and what I'm looking for at this point in my life and my career to be a really important player here long-term and to really have my best years here. I've lived all over the world. As long as the football is good, I am happy. But yeah, it is a new part of the world for me again. My first impressions have been really positive, since arriving just a few days ago. I talked to a few people that had played here before I signed, and everyone had good things to say. I want to have my best season, like always. That's always the goal. I want to play all the games or as many minutes as possible, and I want to have a really big impact here and help us have a special year. To have the ball a lot, to create things, to manage the game and the tempo. Fourth place in the East is a really strong finish. I wanted to come to a team and a setup that is looking to win something in the next few years. In football, it just comes down to thinking really small, like about the training session today and then the next game. And how do you win that game? The bigger questions about the season are kind of difficult to answer because they don't really help us with anything. I'll be here every day for my teammates. I'll work hard. I think with you guys, I'll always be as honest as possible. I'll just be myself.
He's just going to be himself, folks. Luca Del Torre, that's him. This is Tony. Please welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show, making his Charlotte Soccer Show debut, Tony Sanchez from San Diego.Football. It's a podcast that covers San Diego FC. I believe y'all cover the San Diego Wave and the NWSL out there on the West Coast. I'm famous. Anybody that ever asks me, I spent a short time in San Diego as a young boy at a vacation there. And I always say, once you've been to San Diego, why would you ever leave? It's an absolute paradise. I'm sure you know that, Tony. So welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. And tell us, why did Luca Del Torre leave San Diego?
Well, first of all, thank you for the welcome. And let me tell you, we pay for the rent for the beauty that we have here, unfortunately. But hey, hopefully this is another destination for a lot of soccer to come for the next couple of years. But for Luca Del Torre, it was an interesting situation because here you have a player who came to San Diego FC to go ahead and compete where he wasn't. He was at Celta Vigo over in Spain, wasn't getting any minutes. He was, I believe, got 14 minutes in the year before San Diego FC came in and, honestly started an adventure that, nobody had an idea of how it was going to develop, how it was going to land on MLS. The Right to Dream blueprint is something that the San Diego FC definitely follows, which is essentially a playbook on all things front office and philosophy wise for a soccer club. So Luca coming in was also a homecoming for him. And so he comes home, has a chance to play in front of hometown fans and family members and whatnot, and gets himself into the national team once again. And I think that's going to be the catalyst to why he moves away, as well as, it just wasn't necessarily working with the style of play that San Diego FC and Right to Dream were presenting. Luca La Torre can definitely be the focal point in the midfield, and he can take over a game and control the tempo, as he said. But here he was essentially part and a cog in the machine of SDFC, where, as you'll see maybe on his stats reflect that, he wasn't the focal point of this team or this midfield at all. That's back to Yepes Ferskov, the captain here in San Diego FC. And so, you know, with it being a World Cup year, this is essentially his version of, hey, I want to go ahead and be seen by Pochettino. I want to go ahead and place myself in the best possible way that'll land me back in the national team. And hopefully he's part of that roster come 2026 in the summer. Well, we are in 26. We're already here.
We made it. Yeah, just barely. We're just barely across the line. We're 2 weeks in. That's excellent. And I like to hear that he's someone who can sort of take over and dictate. I like to hear that maybe it was just a stylistic thing, because I think a lot of Charlotte FC fans are sitting here wondering, Tony, they're thinking, if this guy was a contributor, you know, I made this graphic and I'm going to keep wearing the usage of this graphic out this week. I swear to God, it's going to be seen many more times on this show before the season kicks off. But, you know, you look at a chart like this where guys, you know, started 2/3 of the games, appeared in almost every single one, you know, 2,200 minutes, scored some goals, you know, created some things, you know, got a lot of touches, created big chances. And we're thinking, if this guy's so good playing for a top team, you know, the best team out in the West, San Diego has such a great inaugural year. Why was he available? Why did he not fit there? And are there any red flags we might need to watch out for why it may not work out here? Because right now I'm pretty optimistic.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say red flags. And in that graphic, it's a beautiful graphic, by the way. On there.
Thank you. I'll drink to that.
Keep using it. It really shows just a stylistic point where he, in his contributions towards the team, right? This is a style that it's very high work rate. And it needs a high work rate, on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively. And the ball is getting touched. It's a possession-based style. And so you're going to have a lot of the players have similar heat maps and contributions, like you see Luca La Torre. I think it was just the consistency on the offensive side that he himself would agree that maybe it wasn't his best contributions. There were a couple of moments in the season where he started getting his confidence. He's starting to get looks outside of the box and really get those shots on. And that's what he does best in front of net. Outside of the box, he's somebody who's going to go ahead and give it a look, give it a chance, and maybe knock on that door. And then maybe the rest of the team is able to go also work off of that confidence. But again, here for San Diego FC, there's so many playmakers. You have Honor Dreyer on the left, Oni Valakari, who essentially plays like Luca de la Torre, but can also be favored on that left side because he's left-footed as well. And applicable a little bit more in the style for San Diego. It's not necessarily the worst thing for him to move on, Luca de la Torre, but there was certainly a reason why, and that's if there is any sort of thing to look at, he did make it back to the national team. However, he also didn't make it back to the national team, and that's what he's trying to build back. And so whether Pochettino saw a performance or two, and he was just like, you know what, I have other players in that position that may, you know, be better in the long term, or he's just not playing well right now. Either way, he was left off of a couple of rosters later in the season, and he never really regained that form after coming back from national team duty in the summer. So I think if he can build on that consistency and he's surrounded by an environment that can really see him thrive, I think he can be successful. It's not necessarily a dip in form, because let me tell you, that talent is still there.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy, you know, who went to the Fulham Academy at age 15, came up in the Premier League, made appearances for the Fulham first team. Not a ton, a handful. Actually, Tim Ream, who's a center back for Charlotte FC, another U.S. men's national player, I think he was on the pitch at Fulham when Luca De La Torre made his debut. So they have a little bit of history there. They've obviously played in U.S. national camps together. I'm really interested in how he will mix with playmakers. Like you said, you mentioned Dreyer, you know, one of the best playmakers in the league last year in San Diego's inaugural season. We've got Wilfred Zaha out on our left wing, a guy with Premier League pedigree, a guy who wants the ball. Luca, you know, in his comments, he mentioned, you know, I like being on the ball, I like getting touches, I like making passes. But is this a type of player that needs to have the ball to produce, or is he the connector? One thing we need at Charlotte FC is connection. We need to create connection in midfield. I think when we are good, we're getting that connection, or we're just getting it a little lucky. And when the ball is sort of stuck in on either end and we're not moving the ball through, then it starts. That's when it starts to look bad for Charlotte FC. So I'm just wondering, talk a little bit, tell us if you can, what kind of a midfield connector Luka Dela Torre is.
So he's really good at being that midpoint, that point of transition between the defense into the attack. And he does a really good job of moving that forward. However, it did seem like in parts of the year, Luka kind of regressed into a point where the ball was almost just kind of going through him and not necessarily with him in possession. It just seemed like the ball is going to go ahead and go either to Luka. He's going to either move forward with a great pass, or 90% of the time he's going to go ahead and look back and look for the safe pass. And whether that's, again, based on the possession style that we saw San Diego FC exhibit and not letting him be that creative and take those chances as much as he wanted to, that's still kind of left in the mixture. But he's able to go ahead and move forward and just kind of create that area of and have an area of creation around him where anybody who's near him and wants the ball and makes the runs, he's going to go ahead and respect. And he's also looking for his teammates to give him some space because he needs to go ahead and do his thing, especially outside of the box, inside of the box where he has a chance to do a quick shot. He's going to go ahead and do those things for you. So he does connect the midfield well, but it's a matter of him not losing himself in the midfield. The moment he starts kind of losing himself, and I don't say like just because of any work rate or not, but you just see that he's genuine, like you saw in the interview. Like, Luka's very, you know, just chill dude. Like, he's just a very chill dude. And that's the way that he plays as well. He sometimes slows things down where it needs to, but he's able to go ahead and ramp it up. And his maximum output is going to be something that's going to be fantastic to watch if he's able to get that level again. But he's able to go ahead and make the players around him much better and move up with the ball as well.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it's tough to imagine a chill dude from Southern California. You know, who would have thought it? But he does seem like a very thoughtful, studious, focused. You know, it's funny. You know, who would have thought? You know, a chill dude from Southern California. You know, nobody would have thought that made that connection. But there it is. But I'm very interested in his demeanor. I just want to wrap up there, if you don't mind, Tony. Just like, how is this? We can sort of guess what to expect on the field, but we don't necessarily know until we see it. But what can we expect from Luka the person? I was very impressed by his chillness, like you said, his go with the flowness. I read his Players Tribune article, you know, also this week, and when he moved from Celta Vigo to San Diego, and he talked about, I'm a go with the flow guy, but I had to learn to not go with the flow when it came time to, you know, sort of take charge of my career and sort of advance his career out of the Fulham Youth Academy and get to the U.S. men's national team. Just want to know, did you ever have a chance to meet Luka yourself, or how does he interact with fans? Any good stories you can give us, or things, you know, most of us have learned a little bit about the octopus tradition that he had in Spain. I don't know if he carried that through in San Diego, and I don't think you want to be eating octopus here in landlocked Charlotte, North Carolina. But just who is Luka the person is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very genuine person. And I think sometimes what people might misinterpret from him is just that low-key nature that he carries and just make maybe it gets confused with maybe apathy at times, but that's just who he is. He doesn't necessarily have I don't think he's ever had a pulse or a heartbeat of over 100 miles an hour, 100 beats per hour. He's just always calm, cool, collected. He's direct. He'll talk to you as a genuine person. You know, we did coverage the entire year, met and spoke with him a couple of times, post press conferences, in training, and you know, he's just very genuine to who he is, and he's a good teammate for sure. Like, that's something that you won't have to worry about. He's a good teammate. He'll back his other players around him whenever there's a call that needs to be, you know, looked at, or just something that is off the field after the match that he may not agree with. He'll go ahead and be genuine with his answer. But he's also a company man, and he's also good for the club, and he's somebody who can go ahead and do the things and say the things that one needs to go ahead and do in the most professional way. So, I mean, from San Diego to the world and to Celta Vigo and now to Charlotte, it's really good to see that as a San Diegan, seeing a fellow San Diegan do well and represent the city in a good way outside of the city as well.
Yeah, he just seems like a really cool cat, cool customer. I think that's going to go over well in Charlotte. We have some big personalities when it comes to a Wilfred Zaha, when it comes to a Ashley Westwood, our captain, who will probably be, we're probably going to play a midfield, a three-man midfield. Sometimes it'll be flat, sometimes it'll be a triangle, but it's generally going to be Ashley Westwood, Pep Biel as the number 10 playmaker, and then Luca Della Torre sort of in a hybrid 6-8 role. And imagine that, Tony, a child of two college professors who is good at following directions and taking care of his responsibilities, right?
Yeah, no, he does well under pressure, and he takes instruction well. And I think that's why he was able to be successful here in San Diego with a blueprint. And here's the playbook. Here's what we ask of you. And he was able to acclimate himself. And really, there's going to be people in San Diego that are going to be missing him. And, you know, there's people who have asked, like, well, why didn't you pick up his option? Why wouldn't you go ahead and do that? And I think the message is, as you've seen, also the news of Chucky Lozano is just system over everything, team over everything. And I think Luca believed that, you know, he can go ahead and be the guy elsewhere and have more of a focus on him and be able to contribute more. And then, you know, he went with Charlotte. So that's his landing spot and his bid for Pochettino for the World Cup coming up.
Yeah, we would love to see him get in that mix for the World Cup. It'd be awesome to send two Charlotte FC players, you know, to the camp with Tim Ream involved. I absolutely love it. If any of you San Diegans are missing Luca, you know, if the ones that said maybe you should have picked up the option, if they're missing him, they can feel free to come visit him in Charlotte. I know it might be a little bit of a house of horrors after that 3-0, just absolute pasting we put on you guys last year. So maybe some of you might feel comfortable coming to visit. Charlotte's a great town, not quite the paradise that San Diego is, but it is a pretty damn good town. I want to just, as we wrap up here, Tony, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do with SanDiego.Football, what's in store for your pod, where people can find you, and maybe a little insight on Lozano, how he seems to be not accepting the breakup. He's pulling a George Costanza for all you 90s kids where he just like refuses to accept the breakup here with San Diego. What's going on, man?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what Chucky is doing. I was out at training today and, you know, just point blank, they asked Mikey Vadas, hey, so, you know, what's the deal? Is this going to be a distraction for you guys? And he's just point blank said, nope, what distraction? No, everybody's looking forward and he's not going to play with us. Just that's the message. And, you know, it might be a chance if Chucky Lozano made peace with not making the World Cup roster and said, you know what, I'm just going to collect my check and chill in San Diego. Yeah, and see what happens from after there. That's an option too. And so, you know, that's where we're at, San Diego, SanDiego.Football, SanDiego.Football is the website. And Chiva and I, my co-host, started this 6 years ago, just reserving a bonfire here in San Diego on the beach. What a San Diego, California thing to do. And we wanted to go ahead and say, you know what? What if we got credential to go to the World Cup and we go to the World Cup for free? That was 6 years ago. And we started this this venture. The podcast is called Two Balls and a Mic, and we've been doing it 311 consecutive weeks. We haven't stopped. We went through the pandemic. We've gone through the creation and the destruction of San Diego Loyal, the USL team, the creation of the San Diego Wave.
I work for some out for Landy Cakes. Sorry. Yeah. We'll do an episode on Land and some other time. Yeah.
Yeah. When his book comes out. And so, you know, it's been the adventure of a lifetime being credentialed and going to now obviously season credentialed through San Diego FC, Cholos Quintles, across the border. I can throw a rock and it hits Tijuana from where we're recording. It's the adventure of a lifetime, man. And as of this week, Chiva and I, my co-host, have officially been vetted and allowed onto the FIFA hub as journalists. So, you know, that's huge. And so we're really proud of that. And hopefully we can represent the city of San Diego at the World Cup.
Sounds like you sparked something out on fire, man. Very, very nice. Congratulations. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for the insight on Luca Della Torre. We are very excited to have him here as our big signing, because right now he's our only signing, although we did get a backup left back off waivers today. So we'll talk about him, Sneg, later. This one's all about Luca. We got so much more coming up this week on Charlotte Soccer Show. We're hitting it hard on launch week. We still got Bronico and Kalina to speak and open up the kickoff the year later this week. I'll be covering that with Johnny Hayes. Johnny Hayes is still a massive part of Charlotte Soccer Show. Tony, that's my regular co-host who's been a little bit down and out of the picture this week. But trust me, he's not going anywhere. We got our partnership over here, too. It's always fun to do things with a partner and have someone to bounce your conversation off of. And that's why I invited you. So thank you one more time for coming in and talking about Luca.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it, and hopefully you guys enjoy Luca, and hopefully you guys can help him get to the World Cup as well.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, and as always, it's for the crown, baby.